Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. By LegalZoom. Visit LegalZoom.com to save on your legal needs and gain access to a network of legal plan attorneys for guidance. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but provides self-help services at your specific direction. Visit LegalZoom.com and use offer code HAMNATION to receive $10 off at checkout. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 147 for May 14th, 2014. Dayton Preview. Hey, good evening, everyone. It is a special Ham Nation tonight. Why? Well, because Dayton is coming up in just a couple of days as we're recording this on Wednesday night. And we've got some people live on location from the Dayton Hamvention already out there. But let's check out the folks who are at home. You may be wondering who this handsome cat is to this side of me, my left, your right, or vice versa. That is Andrew Koenig, KE5GDB. And we're going to talk a little bit more about him in just a little bit. He was the 2009 Young Ham of the Year from Amateur Radio Newsline. And he's going to be one of my travel companions going up to Dayton this year. So if you're going up to Dayton, you can meet Andrew along with the rest of the gang. Let's see what's going on in Jackson, Mississippi with George. George, how are you tonight, my friend? Then we'll go see what Bob is doing.
I'm doing fine tonight, Don. I've got everything packed, and I'm ready to head to Dayton in the morning, and we're going to be meeting Bob and you and everyone else who's going to be there this year.
Yeah, let's go to Dayton. Let's see what's going on. Bob Heil, A9EID in Dayton, and he has got someone with him, as a matter of fact. So, Bob, how are you tonight?
We are doing well. We are in Dayton, Ohio. Valerie is with me.
Hello, everybody.
And we are in the Crown Plaza Hotel. We're about 8 miles south of the big Hamvention, but this is a special place that happens every year, and we want to have Tim Duffy join us. Tim, are you? Yeah, there he is. Tim Duffy, as you know, watching this program, is one of the big contest providers of this contest university. And Tim, it's nice to see you. Greetings.
It's great to be back on the show with you, Bob, and really special from here in Dayton, Ohio, at the Crown Plaza.
Yeah, and what are we doing here? Tell us a little about Contest University.
We are getting all ramped up. The registration is happening as we speak. Guys are arriving here from all over the world to participate in Contest University, which is an all-day university, 20 classes on operating and DXing and contesting, and what radio to buy, what antenna to put up, and operating techniques. It's fabulous. We have 10 professors who are going to teach all day tomorrow.
Yeah, one of your key students is pretty close to you and I, right?
That's right. Valerie was a grad
student.
She's back for more.
She's back for more. Oh, well, the community of amateur radio operators, thank you for doing this. This is a big, big deal, and you spend a lot of time putting it together, and we appreciate that very much.
It's great to do it. This is our 8th year here in Dayton. This is our cornerstone event. We've had them in 10 different countries around the world now and over 3,500 graduates.
Wow, that's really something. Well, we appreciate you letting us have the room for a little bit and bring all of this excitement of Dayton. And it's not just the whole Hamvention part, but this takes place almost a separate convention of its own.
It is. And we have guys that come here just for Contest University and never go to him.
No, you got to walk through the parking lot. You have to go through the flea market. You have to do that.
That's right.
Well, we're really glad that you joined us, and we have a couple of special guests that we want to get in here, and we'll let you know a little bit more about what's happening here. You found somebody that is way out there, huh? Let's see if we can get him in here. Yeah, this guy.
He's our furthest traveled student to Contest University we found so far.
He's
probably still going on, but we're going to bring in Ali, 9K2 Whiskey Alpha. Come on in. He's from Kuwait.
I think he's probably traveled further than anybody at Hamvention. Nice to see you, Ali. Let's get you over here so you can cook and see the people. And there we go. You came here a long way. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
17 hours flying.
17-hour flight. Oh, my goodness. And, of course, you're here for Contest University.
Of course.
And you work a lot of contests in DX?
Well, I participated in the WPX last contest.
Uh-huh.
I think I made good score.
All right. And WPX, to everybody, that's like the Olympics of ham radio, and it's going to happen again this year. And
every year.
Yeah, but we had...
Based on H multiplier is based on the first part of your call.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of fun.
It's really great to have all of these different aspects of amateur radio. And we appreciate you coming all this way to see us, and we'll be looking for you on the air.
Ali has a really neat thing going on with his station. He can actually remote to his station in Kuwait right now from his iPhone.
Wow.
The iPad.
All right.
I worked from California, Nevada, and now Ohio.
Well, that's wonderful. We'll have to catch up with you sometime to explain how that all works. And it's always fun to put all this technology together. It's not just one transmitter. Now it's all kinds of things hooked up to the internet and so on.
It would be my pleasure.
Oh, great. Well, thanks for joining us for a few minutes here on Ham Nation. And we'll look forward to catching you on the air. And again, your call? Whiskey Alpha. Okay, everybody, write it down. And if you hear him on, you've seen the man, you've heard the man. So we'll look forward to working you and getting one of your valid QSL cards.
It would be my pleasure.
Okay, thanks for joining us. Yeah, very good. And we found somebody else that I want to have in here. And you know, Val's been with us for some time on the show now. But you remember a few weeks ago, we had a picture of her on a huge antenna. Remember that? Well, here's the guy that built it. Hi, Jerry. How are you?
Nice to be here.
Tell everybody who
nice
you are.
You're at Contest University and the convention here at the Crown Plaza, and I have not missed a Contest University yet.
Oh,
I think this is like number five.
Eight.
This is number eight.
Wow,
Tim.
All right.
I have not missed one, so this is number eight. This is really cool.
That's great.
Yes.
And I understand that you're making her happy these days.
She trying to.
She comes and gets to operate your radios. And,
we actually were on during the WPX contest, multi-single, and I believe we were top USA multi-single.
Wow.
High power.
Wow.
From Illinois.
Can
you
Black
believe
hole.
That?
Yeah.
From
How about
Illinois.
That? All right.
Of course, high claim.
Yeah.
But I believe we're way ahead of everybody else in high claim. So
yeah. Well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys.
Hey, I got a great operator here that helps me.
Yeah.
And we work very well together. So,
well, that's great. Yeah, yeah. Well, we're really glad to have you on the show and let everybody see the other half of Valerie. And thanks for sharing her with us.
We just got back from a major de-expedition,
yes,
FT5ZM.
Yes, FT5ZM,
Amsterdam Island.
In the southern Indian Ocean. I traveled 24,000 miles.
Wow.
At 10 miles an hour.
the boat, the Braveheart, we were on it 9 days each way, and that was over 2,200 miles each way. So it's 9 days, basically at 10 miles an hour. And when we got to Amsterdam, we met 20 French people on the island that are there. They rotate every 13 months, and we did a major de-expedition. There was 14 operators. We did 170,000 QSOs.
My goodness. Think about that, everybody.
And that was, Bob, that was for, I was gone for 7 weeks.
170,000 contacts.
170,000 out of 14 operators.
That's amazing. Yes. We got to have you on sometime to explain how all of this takes place. Because a lot of people, including me, don't know all of the backstories, and it's incredible.
And there's a lot of backstories.
Yes, there are.
There's a lot of fundraising involved.
Yeah.
And there's a tremendous amount of work involved with preparing for a major expedition.
Right.
And I've been on five D expeditions of the year over a period of about 10 years.
Wow!
And how much did Amsterdam Island cost?
The whole expedition cost approximately $500,000+. Just under
half a million.
Yeah, half a million dollars. But there was a lot of expenses involved. We had transportation.
Sure.
The Braveheart crew was actually gone for 3 months.
Oh.
And we were gone for 7 weeks. And the fuel alone for that expedition, the fuel for the boat was approximately $100,000 just for the fuel. Just for the fuel.
Well,
Amsterdam was number 6 on the most wanted list.
Well, we're going to have you back on sometime, and we'll talk all about that. And I really appreciate you joining us tonight. It's nice to see you here. And
thank you for so much for having me.
Well, we're really honored to have a lot of these guys here tonight. This is really cool.
And there's a lot of people here.
Hey.
There's a lot of big contesting guys here that are here just to go to Contest University. Even like Jerry's been doing it forever, but everybody learns something new.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we got one more we want to do here.
Right.
Where he is.
Hey, Eric.
Eric. Hi, Eric. Put all the headsets on and away we go. This is...
Oh, the intrepid.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, Eric. How are you?
Good. How about you?
Eric came back from... He was in Afghanistan. What was your call in at T6MO?
Tango 6 Mike Oscar, yeah. Yeah,
and
good time. Down in southwest Afghanistan in Helmand Province. It's pretty much like Arizona. It was, dry and brown and warmer than Chicago, so that was good.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to bring you
on
to the show.
Thank you for your service, too.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for all you do. And
thanks.
You're here to... Attend Contest University?
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
We never can learn enough, right?
That's right. I'm always goofing something up, so there's always something to learn, right?
Well, you know, that's what's cool about it, that you don't just have to be a contester, a DXer.
You just
learn a lot about how to hook things up. And,
how to be a better operator.
That's right.
Sure, yeah.
And
even
Eric, you just won an award, too. What award was
that? Yeah, it was the Intrepid DX Association Foundation Award for kind of like being out on the edge. As far as going to, out on the edge places, because they like to do that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So they recognize that kind of expedition operating. So.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we really appreciate you being here and letting everybody know what's going on in the contest world.
I would highly recommend Contest University.
Okay.
Dayton, for sure.
Of course. Thanks a lot.
Thank you,
good
Eric.
Luck on
Thank
your
you.
Future expeditions.
Thank
yes.
You.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Well, we have one more, and this is another biggie. This is...
He's won the gold medal 3 times at WRTC.
Oh.
Yeah, this is a biggie. And we want to... absolutely. Welcome all of us St. Louis boys, right? Yeah. All right. We have a lot of guys that have traveled, as you saw, from halfway around the world, but also a lot of local guys. But Contest University is made up of a lot of different people in different walks of life. Nice to see you. Everything going well, and you're having fun?
It's going well, Bob.
Thank all right.
You. Glad to be here.
All right.
And you've won the gold medal?
Won the gold medal.
From WRTC?
WRTC 3 times with my partner,
K1TO. For those of you who don't know, it's the Olympics of contesting. It's actually going to be in the United States this summer in the Massachusetts area. Are you going to be there for that?
I am not going to make it this year.
Oh.
I'm here to talk to all the folks. Happy to see them.
Are you
going to
be one of our professors?
Am I going to? No. I'm retired. I'm kind of retired these days, to be honest with you. I was at the first CTU back in 2007, Professor Lynn, so it was a good time.
Right. We're going to have Doug on again. He was on a few weeks ago, but Doug's going to.
He is in the house.
He is
Doug
here.
Doug is in the house, yes.
And Doug is the guy putting 2014 together, and it's really the Olympics. They have teams, and it's an amazing thing. And congratulations on you to winning three of the gold medals.
Bob. It's a great event. It's really a lot of friendship, camaraderie from people. It's great to get people from all over the world together. Right. It's a special kind of event, very unique in ham radio, and something that I think other people can really take an interest in. Because it's such a special event. And, like sports and other things where you bring people together, it's unique. It's the only event in amateur radio like it.
That's right. Well, thank you for joining us for a few minutes. And we're going to get out of here and go see what's going on in the rest of the floor here. This whole floor is of the Crown Plaza is taken up with Contest University. And we appreciate the time of all of them to come and tell us a little bit about what they're doing. And thanks to you, George, for carving out a piece of time for us. Don, thanks so much. And Amanda, send us the the chat room, because we couldn't watch it tonight. We're going to go see what's happening. And I guess tomorrow we'll go set up the rest of things. And Friday morning at 9 o'clock, it's go get them. All kinds of new gear and the flea market and everything else. So thanks a lot, everybody, for letting us barge in here tonight on Ham Nation. And we'll be listening to the rest of the show. I really appreciate it. Don, back to you, my friend. And you guys have a good safe trip here, and we'll see you Friday.
Thank you. Yes, you will. You guys are looking great, sounding great. Val, nice to see you. And Bob, as always, looking forward to seeing you guys with the eyeball coming up on Friday. Let's right now put our eyeball on what's going on with ICOM.
It's that time of year again. We're counting down the days to Dayton. Can't make it to this year's Hamvention? You can still join in on all the fun as ICOM will once again be streaming live at Dayton. Lots of great and informative activities are scheduled for Dayton Hamvention 2014. On Thursday, May 15th, one day before Dayton officially opens, attend Contest University 2014 at the Crown Plaza Hotel. Learn from 11 veteran contesters. Register online and check out a course outline at contestuniversity.com. For hams who can't make it, visit icomamerica.com/Dayton2014 for a live webcast. On the morning of Friday, May 16th, attend D-Star InfoCon 2014 at the Drury Inn. Learn about D-Star and also receive a demo of ICOM's new ID5100A mobile. Check out workshop details and register at dstarinfo.com. Class will be streamed live on ICOM's site for people who can't attend in person. ICOM will also be streaming live at Harrah Arena. Planned webcasts include the Dayton Youth Forum, moderated by Carol Perry, and other events from ICOM's booths, HA0008 through HA0010 and HA0033 through HA0037. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/Dayton2014 regularly for updates on webcast schedules, speaker list, and more. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation for more information on ICOM live at Dayton.
And if you're making it to Hamvention this year, I'll see you there. Tommy and I are going, and a lot of the Ham Nation crew, Don, Bob, Gordo, Valerie, no telling who all you'll see there. But if you can't make it, there's three different streams this year that you can watch Hamvention on. Of course, W5KUB.com, as always, and ICOMAmerica.com/Dayton2014. And this year, the DARA Club, Dayton Amateur Radio Association, is doing a live stream also. It's right there on hamvention.org. You can go there and watch as well. So three different opportunities, three different shots there from Dayton. Now, you can enter to win in ICOM's drawing each week after Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and throw your name in the hat. You could win some great swag prizes from icomswagstore.com. But not only that, you'll also automatically be entered in the official drawing for a monthly grand prize, which is a radio. And for May, the grand prize is going to be the ICOM ID51A, a full-featured dual-watch VHF-UHF handheld with D-Star, integrated GPS, automatic repeater list-up, and more. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation after this episode and every episode of Ham Nation and enter to win. And Smoke and Solder this week is going to be kind of truncated. We wanted to make room for that great report from Dayton. So Randy, K7AGE, had submitted us a video on using an iPhone with an ICOM radio. You know, he's been talking about that, a couple of weeks ago. And he's working on a series right now of doing digital modes. And he'll be back next week. We'll have that video for you. But right now, let's get on into our other contest. And, you know, last week I asked a question. First, in the U.S., AC voltage frequency is 60 hertz. Why did Germany decide on 50 hertz? Well, there's a couple of different reasons for that. But our winner here is Steve Shea, KC9JPL, and he said Germany went with 220, 240 volts at 50 hertz after the power company AEG found that 40 hertz caused flickering in lamps. There was also another answer on that that I had found on the internet, and that is they went 50 hertz because 60 hertz didn't figure into the metric system very well. But anyway, Steve, congratulations. You're going to win this MFJ voltage monitor. Just plug it into your power strip there, your wall, your rack, whatever you got, and you'll know what voltage you've got on your rig at all times. For next week, we've got another question here, and this is going to be the prize right here. It is a Diamond K400C trunk lip mount. Just hook it to your trunk lip or a door or hatch or whatever you got. And it's got a connector here on top. It's got a little cap here to screw on to keep it protected when the antenna is not connected. And it's got some of that mini coax on it, so it's easy to get through your door or your trunk lid without causing a leak. And there's an adapter on the end here for a PL259. And I probably can't unscrew this thing on air, but there's another connector that this screws onto. This is actually an adapter here. There's the little connector that it screws onto. Looks kind of like a SO239. If you'd like to win this, tell me, what is this little connector here? Here's a PL259, and there's a little connector that's screwing into the back of it. So if you think you know the answer to that, send me your answer at hamnationcontest@gmail.com. And you could be next week's lucky winner. And one other thing I want to talk about here before we go, there's a new iPhone app that has just been updated and released today. It's a premium Morse code training app that's being sponsored by ICOM. And Ham Nation viewers can go download it for free right now on the iTunes Store. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you can get the Morse app for iPhones for free. It's got the CW Ops Group Academy built in, CW ringtones, and a lot more to get you up and going with CW or to get your speed up. You can go to PacoLabs, PacoLabs.com, and learn more about the app, or just go to the iTunes Store and type in Morse-it, and you'll find it there. Well, right now, let's see what's in the news, Don.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1917, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, May 14th, 2014. Ham Radio volunteers affiliated with Skywarn and Ares were called out when an outbreak of severe weather raked across about one-third of the United States beginning Sunday, April 27th. Amateur Radio Newsline's Bruce Tennant, K6PZW.
The powerful thunderstorms across the Midwest and South sparked a deadly outbreak of severe weather that would span 5 days and sweep across 20 states. The brutal weather system soon spawned a series of lethal tornadoes, torrential downpours, life-threatening floods, wind gusts up to 80 miles per hour, and a number of landslides. At least 34 deaths occurred in Oklahoma, Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee, with hundreds of injuries also reported. Mike Corey is the ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager. He said he'd received reports of weather observations from hams involved in Skywarn, helping by providing tornado warnings issued by the National Weather Service. Many people heeded those warnings, sheltered in underground bunkers as homes and buildings buckled above them. In one instance, Skywarn volunteers traced a tornado's movement throughout Arkansas. While forecasters watched by radar, they also are able to monitor real-time reports from Skywarn on one of its nets. With the severe weather of late spring and summer now here, Skywarn and amateur radio emergency service volunteers across the Midwest and South Central states will be on standby alert for some time.
The Southern California man who killed eight people, including a ham radio operator sitting in his truck, has pleaded guilty to all charges. Amateur Radio Newsline's Joe Mell, KZOV.
David Couette, N6DAC, was a star high school athlete who turned down college scholarships and NFL scouts so he could join the Navy and serve in Vietnam. He became a father of three who loved off-roading in his Land Rover. David was age 64 on October 12, 2011, when he was shot down in cold blood outside Salon Meritage in Seal Beach, California. He was the last of eight persons killed by 44-year-old Scott Decry, a man enraged by a custody dispute with his wife, who was the first of the victims. Decry, who was heavily armed and wearing a bulletproof vest, says he shot N6DAC because he thought he was an off-duty or undercover officer. After Decry initially pled not guilty, the goal of Orange County's district attorney was to have Decry's trial within a year. First, the defense wasn't ready. Then there were more delays when his public defender alleged that Decry's rights were violated because a jailhouse informant in an adjacent cell enticed Decry to make statements that were recorded. But on Friday, May 2nd, Decry went back to Superior Court and pleaded guilty to all eight murders, telling the judge, "It's the right thing to do, Your Honor."
Decry faces eight life sentences without the possibility of parole if the judge rules out the death penalty. An unexpected reset of the master clock on KICSAT might mean that the deployment of the 104 Sprite UHF microsatellites will not take place before the KICSAT CubeSat burns up as it re-enters the Earth's atmosphere. Here's Ralph Squalacci, KK6ITB.
It appears that the reset happened sometime in the morning of Wednesday, April 30th, and was not the result of a power issue, as the batteries have been holding steady around 6.5 volts. Rather, it seems the likely cause was radiation, setting the deployment countdown for KICSAT back to 16 days. Controllers of KICSAT have been trying every possible contingency. KICSAT's uplink radio, which could use to command the deployment, can't turn on unless the batteries reach 8 volts, and it doesn't look like they'll reach that level in time.
And finally, one more invitation for you to attend the annual Newsline Town Hall meeting coming up this Saturday at the Dayton Hamvention. We'll be looking at ham radio as told through film and video. Dave Bell, W6AQ, an Emmy-winning filmmaker and director, will be with us to talk about the films he and our editor-in-chief, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, have made over the last few decades. One of the films dates back to the 1930s. We'll also have a special grand prize drawing at the end of the forum of something really nice from Heil Sound. It's going to be a fascinating hour. We'll see you in Forum Room 5, beginning around 1:45 p.m. And before we go, a reminder that the nominating period for the 2014 Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award is now open. You'll find full details and a nominating form on the Newsline website. And we hope to see you in Alabama in August for the presentation at the Huntsville Ham Fest. And that's all from Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for over 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. And speaking of the Young Ham of the Year Award, my friend here, Andrew Koenig, KE5GDB, was the 2009 Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year. And he's coming up to Dayton with me, so it's a rare opportunity to check with you 5 years after the fact and see, first off, as we look at some pictures of Andrew from back in the day, what was it, look at that, there's the CQ cover, what was it that warranted us to choose you as the Young Ham of the Year back then?
Well, I was active in Boy Scouts, and one of the big points on my application that my mentor actually wrote up was that I was promoting the hobby with other Boy Scouts. I actually did a satellite demonstration at Florida Sea Base while I was there scuba diving, not while I was scuba diving, but while we were waiting to scuba dive, and just a general promotion of the hobby with other young hams.
That's cool. And back to the bicycle shot. You still have that that radio, don't you? That's still in your Jeep?
Yes, I drive a Jeep Grand Cherokee now. I still have the bike, too, but the FT7800, is that's my primary radio in the Jeep Grand Cherokee.
You probably had to raise that seat a little bit. Now, go back to the next shot, because tell us what is in the closet picture here. What is that computer sitting there?
That is IRLP node 3011. Hasn't been online in a couple years, but hopefully I can get it online at the University of Texas at Dallas Amateur Radio Club.
That's neat.
I've since had a haircut, don't have the glasses or braces, and I've grown up a little bit. The IRLP node is still around. It just needs to be plugged in and find a home.
All right, now fast forward 5 years. You just got back from Arecibo, didn't you? That is at the Huntsville Ham Fest, actually, when you're talking with the CQ guys, the radio guys.
There's me mixing audio for a Battle of the Bands competition at my high school. Mm-hmm. And then the next photos, they're from Arecibo. That one right there, that is the control room at the Arecibo Observatory. You can't see it on the screens, but further back, it actually says they're running 750 kilowatts.
Wow.
At 432 megahertz. Multiply that by the 70 dB of gain, and you've got one heck of a transmitter there.
Yeah, and quite an antenna, too, which we'll see a little bit of on the next slide here. And that's cool. I almost got to contact you when you were at Arecibo, but I think you had to get off just as I was getting off work.
Correct.
And we didn't get to make the 10-meter contact.
But that right there is the catwalk out to the platform, and off to the left there, you can see the 70-centimeter line array antenna, and that's that antenna with the dish, the 300. I think it's 300-meter dish, yeah, so about 1,000 feet wide.
Yeah.
That'll produce 70 dB of gain.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Well, I'm so happy that you're coming to Dayton with us this year and going to be riding with me. Mm-hmm. So you've got some certain preparations, I guess, for the 12-hour ride, aren't you?
Yeah, we're going to have to hunker down for that ride, and it's going to be a long trip, but we'll do just fine.
You're getting $10 for the use of hunker down here on Ham Nation, aren't you?
Yep. My brother texted me. He said I'd get $10 if I said that. So, Kyle, I expect payment back in Houston.
That's right. He's going to spend $10 more than he has in Dayton, believe me.
Yep.
Well, Andrew, thank you very much for being on Ham Nation with us tonight. And thanks right. for the trip with us. And we're going to be checking with Amanda in the chat room here in a little bit. And if you have any questions for Andrew, by all means, get those in. And we're also going to be checking with Dale with his video package. But right now we want to talk about a sponsor to Ham Nation, and that is LegalZoom. You know, modern technology is great. We're talking about ham radio. We're talking about Arecibo. We're talking about smartphones, iPads, the other gadgets. This all makes it really easy to do a lot of things. But why is it that it seems like our lives are busier at the same time? Well, when you need legal help, you need to go to LegalZoom. They will give you great solutions that work with your busy schedule. And face it, the legal system is complicated. There are way better things to do with your time than try to figure this out. That's why LegalZoom is there. If you're thinking about starting a business, forming an LLC, getting a trademark, a will, a living trust, LegalZoom will get the job done right. You get the personal attention you need. They will help you take care of all of the details. And LegalZoom has been helping families and small business owners for 14 years. They have an A-plus from the Better Business Bureau. You need to call or visit LegalZoom today. LegalZoom provides legal help through independent attorneys and self-help services, but is not a law firm. I want you to go to LegalZoom.com. Use offer code HAMNATION. You'll save $10 on your legal needs. You'll get access to a legal plan, attorneys for guidance. It's amazing. So don't put off the things you need to do. Go to LegalZoom.com now. Use offer code HAMNATION. That is LegalZoom.com. Offer code HAMNATION. You'll get $10 off at checkout. And on LegalZoom, we thank you for your support of Ham Nation. We're going to check with Amanda in the chat room in a little bit. But first, let's see what Dale has for us on the Show Me Your Shack segment. Dale, how are you tonight?
Doing pretty good, Don. Got some new things in from Ray there at ICOM. Loved the hat, so I thought I had to wear that. But I've got the red and blue hat here also. We'll swap in a little bit. But do you have one of these from Ray? One of the radio waves, slide rules? That is
yeah,
really
neat stuff,
slick.
Huh?
So I really like that. But we'll jump right into the videos. We've got another Show Me Your Shack. And then Dan in 9LVS has another HF mobile show. And then we've got a new club website of the week. So right now, here's Show Me Your Shack. Let's take a look at the Ham Shack photos received this month. But first, a blast from the past sent in by Alan, KD8JMQ. He gave us this 1967 photo of the measles at Kent State Airport. Look at the third band member from the left. You'll see it's none other than Joe Walsh, WB6ACU. Ed, VK2JI, didn't have much space left in his suitcase when he moved from Australia to Germany. While his TS-2000, an amplifier, made its way on a container ship, Ed operated with an FT-817 and a linked 80 through 20-meter dipole held up by a 39-foot fiberglass pole. The Australian FT-817 had a white cover to keep it from overheating in the sun. The photo was taken at the summits on the air about 35 kilometers south-southwest of Munich. Dan, N8IE from Kettering, Ohio, has been an active ham since 1992. His main operating position here features an FT-857D. That rig's feeding a butternut HF-9V vertical. But his showcase radio is the Knight T-150 transmitter with the matching R-100 receiver, which he uses almost exclusively on AM. His secondary operating position features an FT-401B station and the classic Yaesu FT-101EX. It took Dan about 2 years to find all the pieces and put them into operating condition. And here's Dan's shack dog, Buddy. Buddy hangs out with Dan and even helps him figure out problems with the radio. Dan, WA5CYR, was one of the primary communication stations gathering information from storm spotters during that April 28th tornado in northern Mississippi. During most of that operation, he was running on emergency power. Well, JD didn't send us his call sign or many details, but one picture is worth a thousand words, and this rig with a handy talkie and computer works the world via Echolink. Gary, K6PDL, received his technician license the day after Leo Laporte, W6TWT, got his general. Since then, Gary's upgraded to amateur extra thanks to Gordo's books. He uses an FT-101, a Drake TR-7, a TYT-9000 2-meter mobile rig, and a UV-5 handy talkie. Well, John, W8SA from San Juan Capistrano in Orange County out in California, grew up outside of Dayton, and he got his first license in 78. He was only 14. His main rig is an FT-DX5000MP with an SM5000 station monitor and a Quadra VL1000 amplifier. He uses the Kenwood SM230 monitor scope to watch his transmitted waveforms. As a kid, he was fascinated by the Drake Sea Line rigs and finally was able to piece a replica together several years ago. Today, he uses those rigs all the time to check in to the 75-meter vintage single sideband and AM nets on the West Coast. Well, Tom, W3EX, was fascinated by this image recently while visiting his friend Alan, W3BV. He noticed the reflection on the rear window of his Highlander and thought the combination of his mobile antenna and Alan's tower was pretty unique. Finally, from down under, Peter, VK4VW from Brisbane in Australia, sent us this picture of his nice station. It features an ICOM 7600 along with an ACOM 1000 amp on HF. He also has an IC7100 for HF backup and VHF, UHF, and D-Star. He enjoys single sideband DX on 40 meters and operates some JT65 while he's out camping. And that's all the shack photos for May. We'd sure like to show yours right here on Ham Nation also. Make sure to send a photo or two to Ham Nation Videos at twit.tv. Don't forget the details or we'll just have to make up a story. For guidelines, please do check out hamnationvideos.info. Time now to look at the club website of the week. It's www.vvarc.org. Comes to us from the Victor Valley Amateur Radio Club in the high desert in Southern California. The Victor Club was established in 56. Their website was nominated by their club secretary, Delvin Harbor. He's KJ6QYP. The club station call sign is K6QWR. The site itself is full of club news, photos, plus weather and earthquake information. There's an event calendar, copies of all the club's newsletters, and even discussion forum for the club members. Check out the site, www.vvarc.org. Don't forget to nominate your favorite club for the Ham Nation website of the week. Well, our Ham Nation wiki editor and Ham Nation videos info webmaster, Don N9LVS, has been busy. He has created a 9-part series about mobile HF, and tonight we're going to talk about HF mobile radio installs. Take it away, Dan.
This video is mobile HF radio install. There seems to be a lot of misinformation about installing amateur radio equipment in vehicles with respect to interference of onboard electronics. Contrary to information found across the web, no automobile manufacturer prohibits installation of radio gear, amateur or otherwise, nor do any deny warranty claims of vehicles so equipped. In fact, they offer guides on proper wiring. The ARRL actually has a webpage for this. It's www.arrl.org/auto-manufacturer-s-policies. You can also get the information from your local dealer on your specific vehicle. Just ask for the RF guideline requirements from the manufacturer. With that said, very few amateurs go out searching for a new vehicle with the idea of mounting antennas on it or a transceiver in it. Typically, they already own a vehicle and they've decided to operate mobile. Either way, it always presents a problem in some fashion. Minivans, SUVs, RVs, Jeeps, station wagons, crossovers, and plastic skin vehicles present a greater challenge. The main thing to remember about vehicle installation is do it right the first time. Take your time, plan it out, and don't do it haphazardly. If there is but one theme to follow when doing a mobile installation, it's safety. Haphazard or improperly fused wiring, inconvenient transmitter mounting locations, or mounting too close to an SRS device are dangerous practices. Take time to plan your installation and execute the plan in a diligent manner. While none of us want to be involved in a vehicle crash, statistically one out of the seven will be at some time in their life. Minor knowledge of high school physics is all it takes to understand what damage an unsecured remote head or handheld can cause in a crash. The rule of thumb is, if it's loose, bolt it down. And contrary to popular belief, there is always a place to properly screw down a radio head. Wherever you mount your radio or remote head, it should be within easy reach and easily visible. Not always is this an easy task to accomplish. And always remember the line, heads up for safety. Don't try to pick out a mount and then try to figure out how to use it. While some folks don't like to drill through the plastic interior pieces, if you plan well, they won't be easily visible once the radio is removed. Further, cubby holes, center consoles, and storage boxes should not be used. Remember, most modern transceivers rely on fans to keep them cool, thus requiring airflow around them. This is one reason factory-supplied mounting brackets should be used. In other words, don't place any transceiver directly on any surface. Do yourself a favor and resist the temptation to install hardware you really don't need. A good example of this is an SWR meter for an FM radio. By the time the meter tells you anything, you'll no doubt already know something's amiss. The only case for installing one is for an HF transceiver. And in most cases, the newer radios already have an SWR bridge in them, which is adequate enough for mobile use. When it comes to mobile operation, it pays to remember the KISS principle. There's quite a few manufacturers of mobile mounting equipment. They include Ram Mounts, has a wide variety of mounts aimed at us amateurs. Gamber & Johnson is most likely the largest manufacturer of mobile mounts in the world. Most police, fire, and government agencies around the world use them exclusively. Panavice has manufacturer-specific mounts that stay out of the reach of gauges, knobs, and airbags. Avis also has a wide variety of mounts as well, while TACCOM specializes in what could be called portable mounts. They're unique as they can be stacked. Now for the don'ts. Avoid using Velcro at all costs. It's just not a safe solution. And double-sided tape isn't much better. Some forms of double-sided tape are used by vehicle manufacturers to attach all kinds of things. However, the tape they use is made from industrial-grade adhesive. Once they're stuck on, they stay stuck. Clearly, some mounting methods are far less effective and secure than others. One essential element in any method you choose is safety. If it is easy to remove, then a crash will remove it, no matter how secure you assume it is. The other is inside a vehicle, neatness counts. And if all else fails, talk to a mobile electronics certified professional or an ASE certified mechanic about your ham radio installation.
Well, thanks, Dan. This segment's all about your videos, so if you have one, send it to hamnationvideos@twit.tv. That's just about it for tonight. See you in Dayton, and we'll have a last-minute chat room check with Amanda. But first, We're going to check in with Don, find out about the latest from DX Engineering.
Yeah, isn't that a slick mouse pad? I mean, seriously, it's like a hockey rink. DX Engineering is good stuff. And listen, Dayton is, we're on the cusp of Dayton. And if you're heading to Ohio, yep, there it is, make sure you stop by the DX Engineering booth right inside the main arena, same place as last year. And they've got some all new product reveals. Find details on the gear at dxengineering.com. We'll be hosted right after the unveiling in Dayton. Also, you can talk directly with the DX Engineering customer service team. Get all kinds of advice for your shack, maybe a solution to a technical problem that's been nagging you. And the cool thing about DX Engineering, the absolute fastest shipping in the industry. You can also schedule your order to arrive wherever and whenever you need it to. That means you can order at Dayton. DX Engineering will do the rest to ensure your gear will be on your doorstep when you get home. That goes for the big stuff, too, whether it's a microphone or a tower. DX Engineering will work with you and the delivery crew to ensure that your order arrives safe and on time. They are the industry's most powerful website with new stuff every day. That's DXEngineering.com. The site has accurate detail specs on every product DX Engineering carries, complete with downloadable instruction manuals and data sheets wherever possible. And every Thursday, you need to check back to see the latest on the weekly deals. The deals change every week, so you need to check on it every week and do not miss out. Also, look at this. I've showed you this last week. The magic envelope. You know what is in here? It is the brand new catalog, and I can show it to you now. Look at this with the FT5. ZM on the cover. Oh, it's very reflective, as you can see in my light here. But this is it. Brand new DX Engineering catalog has the most innovative products that they carry, along with stories, tech information, and DX Engineering customers. You can get yours any day now. And if you're not a customer, you need to go to dxengineering.com, request the free... Here, here's something for you to peruse. Keep yourself busy. If you're not a customer... DXEngineering.com, you need to go there and request your free catalog. You can't take that with you. You pick yours up at Dayton. If you want to grab any of the gear, get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern. I'm watching you. If it's in stock, DX Engineering will put it on a truck. It'll be headed your way tonight. Proven products, expert advice, the fastest shipping in the industry, and really swell folks. DX Engineering, helping you shrink the globe. Request your catalog. Shop online 24/7. DXEngineering.com. DX Engineering, thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation. We do appreciate it. And someone else we appreciate is Amanda. Amanda, have we gotten the chat room stuff straightened out tonight?
Boy, I sure hope so. I think you guys can all hear me now. Okay, hey, you guys, I've got some Dayton questions. But first, let's give KD8YOA a big round of applause. He just passed his tech exam 2 weeks ago. So congratulations, Eric. Woo! All right, I just had to put that out there. So, next thing, George, is there an Android app for the Morset as well?
There actually is. I don't know if it's at the same stage of development, but there is an Android app of Morset.
Thank you very much. There was a lot of chatter about that in the chat. Next thing, it's all about Dayton. So, who wants to give me the history of Dayton? This came from W0RUS. He actually asked it last week, and I did not get a chance to ask. So, when did Dayton start, and how did it start? All that good stuff. Either one of you guys want to answer that?
I want to say 1952 was the first Dayton, I want to say. I know Bob's been going since the 50s. He would be, if he was still on, he could tell us for sure. But it started out just as a little ham fest and has grown ever since to the world's largest ham fest now.
George?
Yeah, Don wants to answer this one. I don't remember. I think we actually said last year, and I thought about that for a contest question earlier today, but never got around to looking it up.
Oh. Yeah, I think it's early to mid 50s is the genesis of it. You can find it. It's all on the Dayton website at DARA, D-A-R-A. I believe it's DARA.org or hamvention.org is the website, hamvention.org. And by the way, a quick note about Hamvention. I was notified that if you're coming to the Amateur Radio Newsline Town Hall meeting, we were scheduled for meeting room 5. We are now at meeting room 2. So we're in 2 now. Amanda?
Duly noted. Thank you, Don. And next question, again, and I'm going to send this to both you guys. I'll go to Don first. What is the absolute, you cannot miss this at Dayton stuff? Tell me, what booths, what do you have to stop and look at? What seminars, what's important? Go ahead.
Wow. You know, there's something for everybody. I went to the Collins Collectors Forum one year, and that was absolutely not to be missed. You need to go check out Audio Alley for one thing, because Bob Heil will be holding court in Audio Alley, and that's always a lot of fun. If you're a flea market fan, the flea market is 10 acres. So, yeah, I mean, there's something for everyone at Dayton, from like I said, boat anchor stuff to public service to satellite demonstrations. They have a special event station there, too, that you can actually go and operate if you bring your license. And, of course, you should. And I'm going to try to do that this year, too. So there's something for everyone at Dayton, and it's all at hamvention.org. Amanda?
Thank you very much, Don. So, George, what's your opinion? What is the absolute you cannot miss this part of Dayton?
Well, that's a good question. I'm afraid there's stuff you're going to miss because it's so big, there's no way you can see it all in 3 days. But my favorite part is the flea market. You know, I really like going through there and looking at the old junk and trying to find some things that I want. And of course, all the new vendors are there as well. But probably what you don't want to miss is the Ham Nation Forum that's going to be going on Friday afternoon. I don't remember the room number right now, but it's right after lunch on Friday. Yeah, you should be able to find it easy enough on the schedule there. But you definitely want to see that. And, of course, you want to see the forum Don's going to be presenting there with Newsline as well. And that's got an overlap with something else I've got to do, so I really hate to miss that one. And we'll also be in Audio Alley at the Ham Nation booth Saturday afternoon to be on the Tech Guy show with Leo for just a little bit.
And I think Andrew has something as well. Andrew?
There's one other thing. If you eat breakfast at the Waffle House, you can buy a T-shirt. They especially make T-shirts for the Hamvention, and they're usually pretty neat. Usually a waffle guy with a radio.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
That and is
you'll,
so
you'll
awesome.
Usually see... You'll see Joe Eisenberg, the Cat in the Hat, usually at Waffle House. He loves Waffle House. So if you're a fan of K0NEB and his kit building column and also the kit building forum, that's another good must-see is Joe's kit building forum. So, yeah, the Waffle House breakfast and then Joe Eisenberg with the Cat in the Hat hat. Amanda?
Very good. And thanks, Andrew, for your input as well. I appreciate that. Boy, I wish I was going to be there. Anyhow, one more thing. Everybody has been asking me, what was your noise source, Amanda? What was the problem? Guess what? My HF rig was also plugged into my mixer tonight, and for some reason it caused a hideous hum. So apologize about that so much, you guys. Weird that every other week it's been fine, and this week not so much. So interesting stuff there. With that, hey, I bet we're about ready to wrap this up. So, George, why don't you take it away?
Okay, Amanda, it's good to see you tonight. We're glad that you found the ground loop problem, and you're right. Yeah. You know, you might have a ground loop in a particular direction one week, and it might not be there the next. That stuff just kind of comes and goes like RF. Well, Don, I'm really looking forward to seeing you here. Maybe we'll run up against each other sometime tomorrow. We'll be in there early afternoon. I know you'll be in there a little later, but I'm looking forward to that, and of course, Bob and Gordo and Valerie and everyone else. We know there's a lot of Ham Nation friends going to be there. So we're looking forward to seeing you all.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. I'll see you, of course, in the Ham Nation Forum on Friday. And I'm looking forward to that. And like I said, the overlap that you're not going to be able to make my forum on Saturday with Newsline. I'm not going to be able to make the Tech Guy live shot because those two things overlap. So no matter what it is, there's going to be something you're going to miss because Dayton is just that big. Everything overlaps. And it's like going to Disney World. You can't do it. You just can't do everything in one visit. So that's why you have to come back again and again. And again, I've been going to Dayton since 1999, almost every year, except for maybe three or four. And there are things that I have yet to make going all these years. And the special event station is one of those. This year, I want to operate the special event station. That is something that I really want to do, and I'm gonna try to do that. So that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to, George.
Yeah, me too, Don. And I wanted to make Joe Eisenberg's forum, too. You know, I always try to make that one, but it's got an overlap. I've forgotten what it overlapped with, but something I had to be at. So, unfortunately, we'll miss Joe this year. Well, I'll be talking with him, though. We always like to hang out.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, talk shop, catch up on who's been building what, all that kind of stuff. It's really great fun. You know, you'll see a lot of people, sort of a kindred spirit there at Hamvention. Yep. There's just so many guys that have the same weird quirks that you do.
Exactly. And, you know, another a neat side trip, if you want to get away for a little while and maybe do something different, the museum at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, the Air Force Museum, is a must-see. You absolutely have to go and take some time out one of these years to go to the Air Force Museum. That is amazing. And if you're coming up from the south and you're coming through Bowling Green, Kentucky, the Corvette Museum is right there. You'll pass right by that. And, of course, they've had the issue with the sinkhole. But so those are a couple of things in and around that area, depending on, you know, if you're coming up like me from the south, you can pass by the Corvette Museum. But the Air Force Museum at Wright-Patt is awesome. So that's something else you want to see. And what else? Carol Perry's Youth Forum. Andrew has been involved with that as well. And
always a fun event.
Yes. And that goes for several hours. And that is that's just watching the youth that are into ham radio. You realize real quickly that yes, this is not an old man's hobby. And that given the state of what these young people are doing with this hobby is not going to die. And it is going to be around for a long time. And that gives me hope, George.
Yeah. And, you know, this year's theme is all about makers and, you know, the new generation of people who are finding out about building things and experimenting. You know, we kind of had a number of years here where that was kind of dying off, but it's coming back now thanks to the Androids, the Arduinos, the Raspberry Pis, and all these little microcontroller kits, robotics and different things. So, you know, building is really coming back in fashion now, and that's what ham radio is all about anyway. So, that's the theme this year. That's what they're targeting, and we really look forward to seeing how that turns out, because that's what we need to be doing. Those are the next hams.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things we're going to be covering in the Amateur Radio Newsline Town Hall meeting. We're going to look at ham radio as told through film and video over the years, and we go back to the 1930s, and one of our presenters, Dave Bell, W6AQ, is an Emmy award-winning filmmaker and producer, and he's going to be there talking about his role with a lot of the ARRL videos that he has shot, and we're going to see some of those in their entirety. We don't have the time to show all of the videos that we want to show in their entirety, but or a couple, the one from 1936, I think we're going to show in its entirety, plus the most recent one, which has to do with the theme of Ham Nation about makers, and we're going to show that. So we hope that you'll join us 1:45 and Forum Room 2, and that is on Saturday, and of course the Ham Nation Forum on Friday. So there's just too many things to do. You can't do it all, but if you go on hamvention.org, you'll see a list of all of the forums. You need to go through and print it out and highlight it and pick and choose, or do like I did, throw it into Google and port it into your phone, and that way it's right there on the iPhone or your Android, whatever you happen to have. So that way you can do that. So there you go, George.
Yeah, great fun, Don. One other thing, if you're looking for something around Dayton to do, don't forget about the Voice of America Museum in Mason, Ohio. Tommy and I went there last year and shot some good video over at AmateurLogic.tv, and I believe they're going to be open Saturday. I'm not sure of the exact times, but you can find that online. And, you know, that's a great thing to see. There's a lot of stuff. If you go on the hamvention.org website, there's a list of things to do in and around Dayton for the wife or girlfriend or the family. But there's a lot of stuff in there you'd probably like to do yourself. I think maybe next year I'm going to have to try to go a few days early.
Yeah. Back to the Voice of America. Includes the WLW shortwave transmitter, doesn't it? Or is that that's involved with that, isn't it?
They're very close to each other. If you're at one, you can see the other facility. They're that close. Yeah. WLW is not actually a museum, although there was a broadcaster's tour there last year.
Right.
You know, that's not part of the VOA museum. But you can see that iconic tower from the VOA site. And, you know, Crossley had something to do with both of those. So there's a lot of history there between those two sites. And I'll just give a little teaser. I wasn't going to say anything, but there is a 91-year-old engineer, Clyde Hanley. He's the last surviving member of the 500 kilowatt days of WLW. And we have a meeting scheduled with him to get an interview and get some great stories about the history of broadcasting.
Boy, I am looking forward to that. Well, let's talk about the 40 and the 20-meter net frequencies And also, D-Star and all that stuff. And I know that the Hamvention D-Star reflector is 38 Charlie. So anything and everything about Hamvention is going to be on 38 Charlie, and you're going to hear a lot of people on D-Star from Hamvention at Dayton on 38 Charlie. I'll probably be one of those with my 51 if I can get into it. So, George, frequencies, what do we need to look for to get in touch with Ham Nation via the radio?
Well, that is a good question, because the HF frequencies kind of drift around. What I have got written here is 7.278 for 40 meters. Of course, that could vary a little bit. I haven't seen it posted in the chat room, but it could have slipped past me. 20 meters tonight, we're going to have, who's doing that? I think Bill, K5LN, is doing that tonight. It's around 14.268, 14.269. An update from the chat room there, so that's good. Echo Link, you can catch us on Star Do Drop In Star Conference Server. That's node number 355-800. And also on D-Star at Reflector 14 Module C.
Very good. Well, for everyone tonight with Ham Nation, of course, we had Bob Heil from and Valerie from Dayton and all of their guests, and with Dale in Kansas and Amanda in Colorado, and the two of us, you and me, George, and here in Mississippi, and Andrew in from Dallas, who's going to be traveling with me up to Ohio. We're pretty much covering the continent tonight. So we want to thank you all for being with us on Ham Nation tonight. Our time is up, and we're getting ready to hit the road tomorrow morning at 0600. Bright and early, three of us, myself, Andrew, and my friend Steve, N5SC from New Orleans. And we can't wait. We are so pumped about Dayton. It's something that I look forward to. And if it's a year that I don't get to go, I miss it. So, George, we will see you. Val, we'll see you. And Amanda, we're going to miss you. But
I'm gonna miss you,
but
guys,
we'll see.
Too, really.
We'll be thinking of you, and we'll send you some swag or something from Dayton.
You better at least a hat, t-shirt.
A hat. All right. I'll maybe a t-shirt.
Okay.
I'll get with you on what size t-shirt you want. Don't say it on the radio. Don't say
no,
it.
No, I won't.
Don't say it.
72, 78. By the way, you guys, for 40.
Okay. Cool. Good. Email me your t-shirt size, and I'll get you a t-shirt.
Will do, my friend. Thank you. You
right,
guys,
darling.
Have fun.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us on Ham Nation. For everybody involved with the show, with Brian pushing the buttons back in Petaluma at Master Control, a masterful job you do, my friend. We appreciate you. And we appreciate you for watching. Thank you very much, and good night. See you at Dayton.